Today we're continuing our series in the Lord's Prayer with that next petition, give us this day our daily bread. We've said throughout this series that Jesus is not giving us what to pray, but how to pray. He's giving us all of these different hooks to hang our prayers on, that when we pray for our daily bread, we're praying for more than just food, though that is the central thing that we are first praying for. But it's kind of interesting. It's right in the middle of these soaring requests. Jesus is reminding us to pray for God's kingdom, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, to long for the coming and return of Jesus. And then he takes us down to something very earthly and simple, and also pray for your food. But when we begin to think about it, this simple prayer for bread opens up something bigger. Learning to receive our daily bread from God reshapes and reorients our hearts to a deepened trust in God. Let's pay attention now to God's holy word as it comes to us from Matthew chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we pray that you would come now and meet us by your Spirit. We thank you for providing and promising to provide for our needs. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the provision that you give us through the great hand of providence from our Father. We pray, Lord, that you would even now help us to trust you more as we think through and pray through and listen to your word in this prayer. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So sometime after God was beginning to work in my life in high school and really beginning to impress upon me his word and growing me by his Spirit, I remember getting into a conversation with a friend's mother about prayer. And I remember she told me this: I don't really pray for the things that I need. I don't really pray for myself. And I was kind of like, why? Like, why don't you pray for yourself? And she said, well, because God is just too busy to worry about the trivial things in my life. Now, there was something a little off when I heard it then. And the more I've grown, I've come to think about how silly that comment really was. I mean, silly for a couple of reasons. First, God is God. He's omnipotent, and he's everywhere and all-powerful. He's not like Bruce Almighty. Y'all remember that movie? Where people like send emails to him, and he gets every single prayer request in the world, and he can't figure it all out. No, God is God. He hears every prayer. He's able to answer every prayer. Maybe not with a yes all the time. He's everywhere, and he knows everything, and he is all-powerful. It's a silly comment in that sense. Second, it's kind of silly because Jesus tells us to pray for our daily bread. He says, you can pray for your needs. You can pray for things from me. Most importantly, it's silly because our Father loves to hear our prayers. The big ones, the grand soaring ones about his kingdom, but also the very simple ones about providing for our needs. Notice the first part of the prayer. Jesus gives us some soaring things to pray for: his kingdom and his will to be done. You can see it because it's in the second person pronoun, your. We're praying for God's stuff, your kingdom, your will. God is lifting us up to think about the big picture of what God is doing in the world. But then in this petition, he brings us down to something very earthy and simple. He changes the pronoun to our. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. My family friend must not have thought much about the Lord's Prayer. It's the wonderful convergence of those glories of God and the simple needs of man. Humanity is both spiritual and earthly. We need the kingdom to come in all of its glory, and we're also given wonderful freedom to pray for ourselves. Lord, feed me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, protect me. I think in the church, we often hear the corrective, don't treat God like a genie. Have you heard that before? I've said it like many times. And that's really true. We don't want to only go to God when we need something. But the other corrective is just as true. Don't be more spiritual than God. Don't just pray high and lofty prayers. Pray for your needs. Pray for your longings. Pray for healing and safety on the road. And pray for your food. So we start by praying for our daily bread. It's a very simple request to a benevolent Father. You see, it's simply a request for provision. We're going to talk about that in the first point. This is a prayer for simple sustenance. But even as we begin to think about it, there's more underneath it. There is spiritual significance to this prayer too. So first, let's just jump right in. When we pray for our daily bread, we are praying for simple sustenance. Listen to the line again. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the time scale. This day and daily are two different words, but they give the same idea. If we're praying in the morning, we're praying for enough provisions to meet our needs that day. If we're praying in the evening, we're praying for enough to meet our needs the next day. In Jesus' day, laborers were not paid very well. You might remember the coin that they were given, a denarius, which in normal conditions could just about feed your family for the day. In really bad conditions, it might only feed one person for a day. And so this prayer was particularly meaningful for the lowly laborer who knew he needed to rely on God for his food. Contextually, the background for this prayer was the wilderness wanderings of the people of God in the Exodus. If you remember, they were fed with manna. That manna came down from heaven every morning, and they were instructed only gather enough for today. If you gather more, do you remember what would happen? Maggots would start to grow, it would stink, and it would rot. And what God was doing was he was growing the people's trust and dependence on the Lord for their everyday necessities. Now, it's not really how most of us think today, is it? I think we'd rather pray something different. Lord, give us this month our monthly paycheck. Lord, give us this year our yearly bonus. Give us this decade our maxed out retirement account. Or if you're anything like the Behan family, give us this day our daily Amazon delivery. It is a very different world, isn't it? For most of us. And I don't think that Jesus would want us to feel guilty about having nice things. In fact, that Deuteronomy prayer in the confession reminded the people of God that they will receive nice things sometimes. But we need a reminder that the core of our prayer is not to pray for lifetime guarantees or amazing riches. It's just to learn to pray for bread so that God could sustain us day by day. Because we know that we're not given guarantees in this life, not for all the stuff that we want, at least. I'm sure many of you, like me, are thinking about and praying about what's going to happen in the next 5 years to our workforce because of AI. Anybody thinking about that? Like all of us? I know there are many here who have navigated downturns in the economy. You've rode that roller coaster of hardship and difficulty, losing jobs, having difficulty finding another one. And if that's where you are, please take solace in this. God does promise to provide for your needs when you ask him. He does. He really does. We need to hear that. He doesn't leave his people stranded. It might be hard to ask sometimes. It might expose us as needy people. And if you're anything like me, you don't want to be a needy person. But God does promise to provide when we ask. For some of us, it might come to the point that you might need to ask the church to provide for you. We do that. If you're in that place where you do need some help from your church, our deacons will gladly meet you and provide for you. But even as we pray for simple sustenance, we know that sustenance is not always simple. We're praying not just for ourselves. Jesus tells us to pray for us, our daily bread. There is a collective reality to this prayer. Martin Luther pointed it out like this. He said, when we pray, give us our daily bread, we're praying for more than food on the table. We're asking God for everything necessary to sustain human life in this world. The farmer who grows the grain, the worker who earns his wages, the baker who prepares his bread, the peaceful conditions that allow society to function. Daily bread requires a lot, doesn't it? Good weather, fruitful fields, honest work, faithful neighbors, wise government, and peace in the nation. When those things are disturbed through war or corruption or injustice or calamity, our daily bread is threatened. You see, this prayer helps us to see how connected our lives are with everything in God's good green earth. That we really are part of a larger humanity, a system that sustains life, but that ultimately finds its hope in the providence of God. When we pray for daily bread, we're praying not only for ourselves, but the flourishing of the entire human community through which God provides our sustenance. And so in this way, Jesus' church is not just concerned with personal needs or spiritual needs. Rather, Jesus wants us to pray for everything that goes into bringing bread to the table. So there are a couple of ways that you measure if you're a real San Antonian. I'm not sure I'm a real one yet, but one of the ways is, do you call it a breakfast burrito or a breakfast taco? Taco. We see you, Californians. We know you're out there somewhere. The other way is if you love the San Antonio Spurs. Amen? There you go. And finally, you really kind of need to believe that HEB is the best grocery store in the entire world. Now, of course, you can have a little bit of a different opinion about that one. That's fine. That's fine. But there is one thing I want to point out that we should admire about HEB. HEB maintains many stores in communities that operate in the red for the sole reason that it is good and right to provide solid food in that community. Operating at a loss for the sake of providing daily bread is a beautiful expression of God's common grace. In the same way, our church and our people should pray for and work for the material needs of those around us. It is a spiritual good to care about the world's physical needs. It is. So, Jesus really does want us to pray for our daily bread and bread for those around us. But that's not all that's going on. There's deeper realities here. Trusting God for material sustenance does give us spiritual benefits. Just as the manna from heaven was a material good, so also it was from heaven. And so, let's turn now to a few pathways for our spiritual growth as we pray for our daily bread. I'd like to highlight two. There are many we could highlight, but let's talk about two. As we learn to trust God's material provision, we grow in gratitude and stewardship. So as we learn to trust in God's material provisions, we learn to grow in gratitude and stewardship. First, he wants us to grow in gratitude. I'm sure many of us have some sort of ritual around the dinner tables of gratitude. We call it prayer. My dad grew up in the Catholic Church, and so he taught us the common Catholic grace growing up. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Do y'all know that one? Some of you from Catholic backgrounds? There's other ones. Maybe we chanted at youth group, God is great, God is good, let us thank him. By his hands we all are fed, give us now our... Yeah, a lot of you know that one too. There's also the most famous of all of them, the American folk prayer, rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub, yay God. If you didn't know that one, you can use it with your kids. Many of us, whether we grew up in a very religious family or a nominally Christian home, we knew that it was right and good to pray for our food. It's actually something that is across every world culture. We all have an instinct to ritualize our gratitude for the food that we've been given. humans need to give thanks. Modern psychologists like Jonathan Haidt have found that gratitude is one of the most powerful forces in human flourishing. The happiest people are the people who regularly give thanks. And the gospel simply tells us where that gratitude actually belongs. When God teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," he's answering that question. Every loaf points to the giver. I'm convinced that one of the best gateway drugs to God is giving thanks for your meal. Ask me about apologetics for God's existence. We could talk about the beginning of the universe or moral laws or the clues for the resurrection. But I think this very simple impulse might be the strongest. Our hearts are thanksgiving magnets, and we long to find our other half. And that's found in Jesus. We long to give thanks to the real giver who gives us every gift. You see, when we receive God's gifts with gratitude, all of creation doesn't just become, or is not just stay raw materials, but rather the whole world becomes a sign and confirmation of God's presence with us and his goodness to us. Listen to 1 Timothy 4, 4 and 5. "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." Think about that. It is a holy and beautiful thing to receive all of the gifts of God with thanksgiving. We are meant to enjoy the goodness and the presence of God in our golf games and in our scotch and in our beach trips and in our nights with our kids. And yes, I'm just talking about the things I like. What about you? Where is God calling you to receive the presence and the goodness of God? It's really in everything you've been given. But there's also a warning. The twin warning that goes with this. When we forget to give thanks, we do forget our God. Listen to D.A. Carson. "The scriptures teach that God himself is the ultimate source of every good, whether food, clothing, work, leisure, strength, intelligence, friendship, or whatever. Moreover, he does not owe us these things. We have taken his gifts for granted, and when they begin to dry up, we complain and call into question the very existence of this beneficent God." You see, there is no neutral meal in this world. There's no neutral meal. Every time we eat, we are either communing with our Creator or we're worshiping the creation. We either give thanks and grow in gratitude, trust, and dependence, or we use the creation for ourselves. If we don't receive our daily bread with gratitude, we may treat the bread or any gift we receive as mere fuel for self-reliance or consumption or even status. When we eat, drink, work, or play, we're either communing with God or with our own idols. Without acknowledging God as the giver, the bread just becomes a means of feeding lesser things like our control or our pride or our comfort. So we've got to say grace. We've got to say grace. Say grace at meals. Say grace at home. Say grace at restaurants. Say grace in the lean years. And say grace in the years of plenty. Not just for food, but for everything that God has given. Say grace. Finally, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are shaped as spiritual stewards of the riches of God's grace. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Just as this prayer is a prayer for the entire world economy to flourish, so too is it a prayer for us to realize that everything that we have been given is a gift to steward, not a resource to hoard. We started in Deuteronomy chapter 8 in our call to confession. Let's finish this chapter, or this idea. Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18 says this, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." This is really important for us who have been given much. Think all about all of the blessings that have been showered on you. Maybe you were set up for life because you came from a great family. Maybe you were given a keen intellect or a strong work ethic or connections or charisma. It doesn't matter. Everything good that you have been given, your abilities even, are gifts. And if that's true, there is nothing that you own that's truly yours. Can I say that again? There is nothing that I own that is truly mine. Just think about that. There's nothing we can boast in. Everything I have been given is a gift. But these are not like birthday gifts. You've seen an 8-year-old open his birthday gifts. They rip through them and consume them. No, it's different. These are gifts that are meant to be stewarded and given away. It's like bread at a meal. Bread is good as if you receive it and then break it and distribute it to others who have need. You see, God rarely answers our prayer for daily bread by sending down manna from heaven that happened once or, you know, for one period of time. Now, he answers our prayers for daily bread through the work, the generosity, and the stewardship of his people. That's why the Apostle Peter writes this, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God's stewards of his varied grace." Notice that Peter doesn't say just steward your money well. He says steward the grace that's been given to you. That grace flows into our lives in so many ways. Our resources, our time, our homes, our skills, our knowledge, our influence, all of these are gifts of God's grace entrusted to us to steward well for the family of God and even those outside of it. You see, we're not to pray for our daily cake. That's kind of too bad, isn't it? We're not to pray for our daily cake. We're to pray for our needs, not our greeds. And that shapes us. When we recognize that everything that we have been given is truly a gift from God, it changes how we hold on to those gifts. Jesus, in fact, reminds us, "To whom much is given, much will be required." The blessings we receive are not merely for our enjoyment. They're entrusted to us for the blessing of others. And guys, that means that many of us in this room, probably all of us, are going to be pressed hard to steward those gifts well. See, the more we're changed by this prayer, the more freely we'll be able to steward our blessings for the kingdom. And that's really good news. There is nothing like stewarding the blessings for the kingdom that binds all of us together as one family better. To give and to receive in Christ's name is a beautiful thing. In this way, when we pray for our daily bread, we become spiritual stewards of all of creation, receiving his gifts with thanks, giving them away to others, and experiencing his blessings. So, even as we learn to receive and distribute the gifts of God that he has given us, the Bible reminds us that bread was never the final gift. Every loaf of bread we receive, we are meant to see through to the giver. You know this because what does Jesus say in John chapter 6? "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Every loaf of bread that we receive and pray for, every meal we receive, every table we sit at should be a reminder of the one who is really our deepest hunger. We long for spiritual food, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But bread also must be broken before it can feed, which is why on the night of his betrayal, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body that's given for you." Christ became our bread by giving himself for us. See, earthly bread, the stuff that we're given, that sustains us for today. but Christ sustains us for eternity. So every time we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are not only asking God to feed our bodies, we are remembering the one who gave his body so that we might live. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for sending the living bread from heaven. We thank you for your promise that you will meet us in our needs and sustain us daily. We thank you for the joy and the blessing that it is to steward those gifts. We thank you that you give us glad and grateful hearts as we take those gifts and see Jesus through them. And Lord God, we pray that you would continually feed us with that eternal bread so that we would never go hungry again. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.